Let us begin this service by singing number 119, the stanzas 3, 4, and 5. Number 119. O send thou forth thy light and truth, let them be guides to me, and bring me to thy holy hill, thy dwelling place to see, thy dwelling place to see. Number 119, the stanzas 3, 4, and 5. First, we read to you 12 articles of faith. I believe in God the Father, almighty maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. And further, we read to you the epistle of Paul to the Ephesians, the second chapter. And you has he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past he walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times passed in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ, by grace he has saved, and has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the age to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, in which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. Wherefore remember that ye, being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called a circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus ye, who sometime were far off, are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who has made both one, and has broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off, to them that were nigh. For through him we are both have access by this one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together grows unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. Thus far. Lord, remember us in this evening, and that our help be in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. Grace, mercy, and peace be given, and richly multiplied unto you from God the Father, and Christ Jesus our Lord, in the communion of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Let us now ask the Lord for a blessing. Lord, it is for the third time in this Sabbath day that we were privileged to come in this house of worship. That it be a wonder for all of us that we are not consumed and condemned, but that we have still a place and a name at thy footstool. And to have received that privilege to place ourselves again under thy eternal word and testimony, which can make us wise unto salvation. The privilege given unto us and our children and grandchildren is great, but we need more than that. We need the applying of the Holy Spirit in our heart and in our midst, because the Spirit quickens, the Spirit makes alive. The Spirit that reproves of sin, of righteousness and judgment, and that same Spirit glorified Christ here on earth in the applying of Him and in His precious work in the hearts of thy dear people. We have heard about that in this day, and we hope to hear of something in this evening, but that our hearts were made receptive for the word that shall come unto us. 'Tis all dependent upon thee and the working and operation of that Holy Spirit. We can say, sitting under the word, it is the truth. There is no other way to be saved. But still that we leave the church with an empty heart. And an heart that condemns us. Because finally, it becomes all our own fault. We have to live in it and to live through it. What we have taken upon ourselves in the deep fall of Adam. But saved out of grace without the works of the law. As we have heard already in thy precious word, Lord, made us subjects for that great object, Christ Jesus, and Him crucified. May thy word press his to our soul, apply it to our heart, and that this evening was unforgettable for this one and for that one. There is still a remnant after the election. There is still of some souls, even that most of the time that they have no courage to look and to ask, on account of their unworthiness, and that voice that is so many times in their heart, what shall I longer wait upon the Lord? Thou knowest all what goes on inside, by day and by night. But Lord, gladden the heart of that people that is looking forward for those things which the Lord had revealed in His word, and what He will apply by His Spirit to the hearts of thy children. That it was in this evening that the lame, that they divide to pray with one another. And then we are glad that it is not in our hands, but that it is all in the hands of a triune God, that He shall receive all the praise and all the honor and all the glory. enable us for the third time in this Sabbath day. Thou knowest with what fear that he came to this place in this morning, and what they were talking to us inside. But our Lord made all those enemies ashamed, and that we receive grace that we could now say some edifying words in this evening to the congregation, and that the outgoing of this day was to the honor of thy great and precious name. Supply the needs and the wants of all the sick and afflicted, and all those that cannot gather with us, also one of our deacons who is bound to his home in this day and in this evening on account of that accident that came to befall upon him yesterday. O Lord, remember him where he is sitting in his home alone in this evening, that he receive of something from thee in his heart. The Lord can make it well with himself. Remember all the widows, orphans and widows. Remember those that are sick amongst the old people, but also among those that in the prime of their life, those two boys in the congregation, we commend them in a throne. Supply the needs and wants of the consistory, elders and deacons, and where they for so many years without a shepherd and a leader, or that a time may come that they would see their shepherd and leader bring the truth as it is in Christ Jesus, and that they have heard all the time of their life. Remember all the labors in thy church with all thy called and anointed servants, and that the works of the devil were broken down, and that thy kingdom come, and that thou hast be gladdened. Oh, there is so much bitterness, there is so much grief and sorrow, so much strife, but reveal thyself as the King of Kings and as the Lord of Lords, and apply thy work by thy Holy Spirit with the pardoning of our sins for Christ's sake only. Amen. 143. They forget to announce this morning that the collection taken for the foreign mission fund 2 weeks ago, that it amounted to 689.35. And next week morning and evening will student Beke preach for you. And tomorrow evening I hope not to be able to preach in the Franklin Lake Church. 143. O God, according to thy grace, be merciful to me and what follows. beloved congregation, again, I ask your attention this evening for the word of God out of the second epistle of Paul to the Corinthians, the first chapter, verse 15, the last part, that ye might have a second benefit thus far. Maybe you would say for the third time the same text. Yes. I have no freedom to preach another text on account that I am persuaded, but I have talked to you in this morning, that was the truth. But of course, we read by the prophet Isaiah, in the same is eternity, and that is also in that text that we will consider now in this evening for the third time. I hope that you are not tired of it, but that you will be interested to hear about the contents of that text and that second benefit that Paul explained in the end of 2 Corinthians 1. I have, of course, not some thoughts this evening to conclude that sermon. I explained this morning a little, and I will repeat it with few words for those that were not here this morning, that the first benefit that the Lord granted to his people, to his chosen people, that is a regeneration. That means that the Lord cut off a sinner from Adam and that he is engrafted in Christ Jesus. A regeneration, then there comes a changing in our state for eternity. Because the Lord, he is drawing the people by the course of his love out of the state of death and translate them into the kingdom of the Son of God. In regeneration, then God's people that receive a new life, and that is a life that never shall perish. Time and again, they are afraid of it, and there happens much in the soul, more than that they can tell to anybody here in this world. Joseph Irons, he had a sermon, you know well, of course, and then he wrote as a subject of that sermon, continually war. And that is in the life of God's children. I will say only this to you this evening, that there are times in the life of God's people that it really wanders to them that they are at this side of the grave. A wonder. And that is biblical. You read that in Psalm 66. There's David, he speaks there about waters and fire. And there are times in the life of that people that it is a wonder that they are not drowned in the waters of discouragement, and a wonder that they are not burned up in the fire of enmity. And I believe not an hypocrite and not a nominal Christian, no. Because that language that I talk, that is for them confusion. And they can never accept it. They would say no. That is not my experience. But it is well the experience of God's people when they think about all that lays behind them in their life. Let I say to make it plain to you, from the time that there came a changing in their life, a renewal by the Holy Spirit, because those that are in Christ, they are a new creature. All things are past, and everything that become new. And from that time, their life is a restless life. There are in between, even for God's concerned people, there are times in between that the Lord gave him a little rest. You read about that in Mark 6, verse 31, that Christ said to his disciples, come here in the wilderness, rest a while. He did not say rest all the time here, no, but rest wild. And that happens sometime in secluded places, that happens sometime in the midst of the night, that happens sometimes when they are in their work, that happens in the church, that happens when it is the Lord's Supper, that people have a little rest for the soul. But of course, every time when the Lord gave him a little rest and opening and freedom, then you have to see that as a preparation for a new war that is come. I think about Huntington. He wrote in one of his sermons that after an heavenly quietness, that there comes an hellish hurricane and storm. And time and again, people, a storm and an agony as they have never known before in their life. But now in general, then it is a continually warfare in their life. The Lord is with his people, but the devil is with him also. And one moment the Lord speaks And another moment the devil is talking. And that goes on and that goes on. If you are no stranger of spiritual life, then you know it. And why? In our life congregation, the devil vouchsafed us nothing coming from the Lord. Nothing. And the Lord, he vouchsafed nothing to us from the world. And that goes now up and down all the time of our life. It is here not the land of rest. There is a rest left behind for God's people. And that shall be in that country where no inhabitant would say, I am sick. Because the people that is there, that shall have forgiveness of all the iniquities. The people that is coming in a country soon, where they never have to do any sin. They come in a country that the devil shall never bother them. They come in that heavenly Jerusalem, where nothing is as holiness and a peace that passes all understanding. There they shall never more be afraid. Never. And here in this world they were time and again afraid. They will keep what the Lord gave them. But before that they realize, they lose it already out of their hands. And it is a changing insight between heaven and hell. I cannot say different to you. Because if the Lord is not in their heart, then the devil is there. And if heaven is not in their heart, then hell is there. And we have to realize that that now is the life of God's people. I say something this morning about Jacob. After Peniel, that the sun goes up when he left that place, Peniel. But then in that 34th chapter, then you know what happens with his daughter Dinah, and what his two boys had done. And then all that was in Peniel in his heart, that was, it seems that it was all gone. And he became so afraid that he said to his sons, they shall kill us. And of course then he came in Genesis 35 in battle back, where he was not back in 30 years. In 30 years. And in battle, where the Lord brought that man back, then the Lord, he came to visit him. And there he worshiped the Lord. And there the Holy Spirit confirmed what have taken place in Peniel. Because the Bible, the text speaks about a second benefit. And that refers not only to justification, that a sinless place for God as yet, and that he become there standing as a silent person, nothing to bring in, nothing to say, but silent, because he had to accept that sentence that the Lord brings upon him and to him. But there, that advocate, that heavenly advocate, that come in between, and that is not praying there, but that is requiring there the acquittal of God's people on account of his mediatorial work, and on account of his blood and righteousness that he present to his Father. And then, of course, the Father as judge, he cannot more condemn the people on account that he had condemned his Son as a surety of his people. And he punished the people not for the second time, no. And then that people, you can realize what an happy people it is when that sin, that guilt of sin, is taken away from that people. But however that is a great privilege to come so far in our life that the Lord forgive our sins in a way of justice and of righteousness, and that he cast our sins behind his back in a sea of forgetfulness, as you read by the prophet Micah, that he never shall remember it. Never. Well, remember the mediatorial and vicarious work of the Lord Jesus Christ. What becomes that a wonder? And now one thing, congregation, is this, what I will explain a little with the help of the Lord. If it has pleased the Lord to forgive the guilt of our sin in our life, then the guilt of sin that never comes back. That is something. Are they never bothered with sin afterwards? Yes. Well, with the pollution of sin, but not with the guilt of sin. And well with the results of sin. That is behind them all the time of their life. And that keeps that people on the ground. But the guilt of sin, they come not back to them. No. Sometime in our life there can come a darkness in our soul's condition. But our soul's condition, that is something different than our state for eternity. And it happens that on account of our sins, because the Lord, he said by Isaiah 59, your sins make a separation between me and your soul. And you can realize that in your prayers, that there is no opening, that there is a condemnation about it in your heart, that you cannot come to the Lord, that there is an hindrance, and that hindrance lays there as long as this blood of Christ is not sprinkled upon our polluted conscience and condemned conscience. And that for a while we can be troubled, as David said in Psalm 30, but that guilt of sin, that comes no more back. Why not? Because the work of regeneration, that is a perfect work. Perfect. That people that is drawn out of the world, and they can never come back to it. In our days, there's so many people that talks about religion and conversion and grace, but still the life is in the world. And they can walk as the world and live as the world and still be converted, but that is impossible. The work of the Lord is perfect. And then they are, so under the influence of the devil, that devil has said, it is sit not in this or in that. But the Lord said in his word that the world shall see that it is a seed blessed by the Lord. That's what the Lord said in his word. And grace and world, that goes never together. That's impossible. But now, when that guilt of sin is taken away, then for a while, our state for eternity, that can be covered. We can come in a darkness so awful that we almost come to the brink of despair. There are examples of it. You read in the Bible about Haman in Psalm 88. And that man, the guilt of his sin was taken away. He said in the first verse, O Lord God of my salvation. There's that Haman, he was not a concerned person, but he was an established person in regard to the grace of God. But then he said in verse 15, I am afflicted and ready to die from my youth up, while I suffer that thy terrors, I am distracted. And I will say some words about it to instruct you. There was in the world almost no person that was blessed in the way of grace in such a manner as that Haman. He had 14 boys, 14, and they were all sinners in the temple. Think about it. Sinning to the honor and to the glory of God. But that man that had something on his back, why? To keep him down. And not to go up in the blessings that the Lord had given him. In other words, I shall try to say it very simple to you. The more grace that the Lord gives his dear children, the heaviest crosses that they have in their life. I shall not mention Joseph Iris once to you. And he said in one of his sermons about God's people, and about God's servants. He said, if the Lord has something in store with his servants or with his people to the welfare of the church, he said, the burdens shall be heavy. And we find that out in the practice of their life. But now I will go a step further. And that is this. I talk about the forgiveness of the sins of God's people and a right to eternal life. As it said in that text, that he might have a second benefit. But there is another benefit, and that is the adoption of the Spirit, a sealing of the Spirit. And in this chapter, Paul is said here, now he which establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us is God, who has also sealed us and given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. I hope that I can make it clear to you what is mentioned here with an example out of the Word of God. And that example we find that in Luke 15. There you have three parables from that sheep that was lost, and from that penny that was lost, and from that prodigal son that was lost. What was the cause that that prodigal son, that he came back to his father? You know it? What was the cause? Was the cause that that boys had nothing to eat? That that foreigner in whose service he was, that he forbade him to eat of the husk that was brought to the pigs to eat? No. That was well in the second place, but that was not in the first place. No. What was then in the first place the cause that that boy came to himself? When he was in that awful condition that he had to face death. He had to face death. But then he said, how many hirelings of my father have abundance, and I have to die on a count of want of food. And you see in that chapter and in that parable the drawn love of the Father. How many hirelings of my Father. Can you see no deeper in that secret? Yes. Yes. Why did that boy talk about his Father? Why? Because that Father could never deny that he was the father of that boy. And God cannot deny that he is the father of his people. And child can sin the way that he is a child. He can sin that away. But the father cannot deny that he is a father. And then in that parable, the boy that had made up a confession. You know that. And then he started traveling. But then you read in that parable that his father was looking for the coming back of the boy. And who was running faster, that father or the boy? That father. That father. The love to that son, to that child, that has so the upper hand in his heart to meet that boy. I would say, for the father was nothing in the way to meet his boy. But the boy that walked not so fast, because upon his back was his sin and his iniquity. And then he walked not so fast. Oh, what a burden, what a burden. Congregation, it have to become reality that I have sinned and have done what is evil in God's sight. I am privileged to be in your midst this day, and I am glad that the Lord had given me that privilege. I hope to appreciate it, that the Lord had given me it, but we don't know how long it shall last. And I hope that the instructions that I have given you by the grace of God, that remains with you, even after that I am no more in the world and in the church militant. And that later on that you could say, I have heard that man saying those things. And that it come back in your life. There came a moment that father meet that boy in the field, right? He meet him in the field. And what came now from that story that that boy had made up? He had a big story. He would say, Father, I have sinned against heaven and thee. That was in his heart, too. Heaven and thee. Heaven at first. See? Yeah. And I am no more worthy to be called your son. But make me as one of your servants. But now the question, did he say everything what he had in his heart? No. What has his father done? His father embraced the boy. Oh, yeah. I would say to you, have I the right words now to explain it, what it is in my heart about that boy? That boy that had an awful light behind him. Awful. I cannot explain to you how dirty that boy was. how dirty that he was. Do we know that here? Oh, not worthy even to look at that boy. But his father embraced him, and his father kissed him. And where did that father now forgive all that that boy has done wrong? Where happens that? That happens when that father kissed that boy. But then there was still a difference, a distance, between that place where the father had kissed that boy and his house. There was a distance. But that father that took that boy, he brought him home. And what afterwards? Must that father go to the store to buy clothes, to buy shoes, to buy a ring? No. That was already there. That was all laying there. And he gave it to that boy. And they made ready that calf that they killed, because there was not 1 ounce meat of your flesh, or maybe better word, there was not 1 ounce flesh upon the body of that boy. So wasted away by his sinful life. But then that calf that was killed there, and they eat it. And then they became happy and joyful. And he said, this my son was dead, and he is now alive. He was lost, and he is now saved. And then there was a joy, and that joy that is now through the Holy Spirit. And that is another benefit out of the covenant of grace, people. The joy of the Spirit. Look this evening when you come home. Romans 14, verse 17. And there you read about the joy of the Holy Spirit. Congregation, the Lord have to place a stamp upon his work. And as long as that spirit of adoption is lost in our soul, I will not say then it is an hopeless case, but I well would say to you this evening, then there is still for that soul more missing than that they possess. I hope you can follow it. And it is so necessary, people, to sit under a preaching, not that built you up as a comfort boy and girl, but under a preaching that bring you down and that break you off, and that say every Sunday to you what there is missing. In the hope that the Lord would sanctify it to your heart. Because in practice of life, and I have not read that in a book, no. No, I have not find it in a book. But we are sooner converted than unconverted. That is our nature. And it is so necessary I told you this morning already that in all things where we don't know the Lord, we cannot glorify the Lord. And then Brackley said in the reasonable service, he said, people, are your death better shall be necessary that you have the assurance of faith in your heart. Are you desperate? But also here in this world, people, to live in comfort and to die in peace. And otherwise we are as the waves in the sea, up and down, and bothered with unbelief time and again, and hard thoughts about the Lord. But a blessing for God's people to establish with in Christ and anointed by the Spirit, by the Lord, and sealed and given us the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. Christ is that earnest Spirit in heaven at the right hand of the Father. But now the Holy Spirit to have him as an earnest in our own heart. That our heart is the dwelling place of the Spirit. And that we know for our own heart and soul that Spirit, even that we have in this world a lonesome life, but that we are not alone. And that David, he said, this I know in Psalm 56, that the Lord is with me. And this God is our God, even unto this. That is a life congregation, that the Lord be honored and be glorified. Asaph, he said in Psalm 73, it is good for me to kneel unto the Lord. And you read about Enoch and you read about Noah, that they were walking with the Lord. What a close life that they have with the Lord. And what a privilege here in this life, that their conversation was in heaven, and they expect that Savior from heaven, more desiring to die than to live, which under subjection of the will of God, that he might have a second benefit. And then after the sealing of the Spirit, because there is much more, there is always much more, an entrance for our own soul in that covenant of grace. And that we have that consciousness that the Lord had made with us in covenant, that is well ordered in everything, and that the eternal covenant is. And as you read by the prophet Isaiah in the 50th chapter, verse 6, a covenant that not shall be forgotten. And that we with consciousness of ourselves, that we receive for our own heart, that knowledge that for time and eternity that the Lord now take care for us, and that we can boast in the Lord who had taken us under his precious wings, and that we become one with the Lord. Is that possible? Yes, people. And you read that in Ephesians 5, Verse 27, therefore the man shall leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they twain that shall be one flesh. And this mystery is great, but it seeth, it looks, it refers to Christ and to his church. And that Christ betroths us, and that we become the wife of the Lamb. And you see that with Ruth, in the fourth chapter of Ruth, that when Boaz married her, then he took upon him all the debts and all the afflictions and all the troubles. And she was now the wife of the Boaz. And as soon when they were united, then there was born a child with the name of Obed. And that refers to some sanctification, that you have your fruit to sanctification, to the honor and the glory of God's name. That ye might have a second benefit. And is there more? Yes, there is more. Because the land of Emmanuel, that is wijd van begrip, staat er in Hollands. There is no beginning and there is no end to it. And therefore David, he said, one thing I have desired, that I dwell in the house of the Lord, to see the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire into his temple. And that our life is so close with the Lord, that there is time and again a personal conversation with him. And no more afraid of him. No more afraid. Because his justice is satisfied by that mediator and savior, Jesus Christ. And then Paul, he wrote to the Hebrews, let us go then boldly to the throne of grace. And that they know that he never shall put them back, but that he shall take that people and embrace them and kiss them with the kissing of his mouth. And I would say, finally, congregation, that is now heaven upon earth. If that now is a privilege, I shall not add many words to this evening. I am glad that without any hindrance in my body, that the Lord has strengthened me today to preach his word in your midst. Not men, but the Lord must receive the praise, the honor and glory. And I hope, congregation, that this day and that this preaching, that it be unforgettable for young and old, great and small. Yeah. Few weeks ago, we were in one family in our church, big family, and we were talking there to the parents and the children about the things necessary for eternity. And there was a boy, maybe 13, 15 years old, that walked out of the house, that burst out in tears. And I can say not more about it, but still I was glad. I thought it is no wonder. And what is our use in our days? World, world, world. Fun and no thoughts about eternity. That is it, yeah. And it could be that there was some impression about what is necessary. The Lord shall build his church till the end of the world. And I hope Clifton and Franklin Lake, oh, I hope that the Lord no will have thoughts of peace and not thoughts of evil for you and for your generation. Oh, and I hope that in this coming night that there is many people that cannot sleep. I hope. Walking through the house. Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. Soon it is done, congregation. It is now the acceptable time of the Lord. And do not wait till you are 70 or 80. You don't know whether that you shall become 70 or 80. But while we are young, then it is the day to call upon the name of the Lord. And those that seek me early, that shall find me. And those that find me, that shall obtain mercy of the Lord. The Lord bless it to our hearts and sanctify it to our souls. And if there is never concern here in sight about what we have preached to you in those sermons today, oh, think me nothing about yourself. No. You can well think I am converted, but the true work of God is missing. That is missing. The Lord make his people concerned. Bring the people on their knees. And one evidence is this, that they never had rest for the sole of their feet before that they find rest in God. And it is a continual war, but it is also a continual prayer, oh, that thou rendest the heavens, and that the mountains fly away, and that the Lord speak of peace and pardon to their soul. And another desire in their heart, with Apostle John, to lay at the breast of the Lord Jesus Christ, and to hang upon his lips, because grace is poured out in his lips. And children of God, oh, I hope that what we have preached in this evening and in this day, that it bring you to an holy jealousy. O Lord, grant it unto me, that the later part and the last part of my life, that my life is to the honor of the Lord and to my soul's eternal salvation. And that I am not only reconciled with God, but also reconciled with the Father, and in the third place, reconciled with death and with grave. Amen. Lord, thou hast said, ye shall not tempt the Lord your God. That we acknowledge thee, that thou hast strengthened us so far, that we were not on this pulpit, that the Lord's name was blasphemed. But the end has helped us, and we hope, not at once in the day of tomorrow, that it takes place, and that it was to an eternal blessing for young and old, great and small, and above all, to the honor of thy precious name. Bring us safely to our destination. Remember us in mercy. And bless us together with the blessings of thy covenant. For thy great name's sake. Amen. my soul in this dark pit shall not be left by thee. 29. Corruption thou wilt not permit thy holy one to see. 29, the last stanza. Receive now the blessing of the Lord. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.